Lord Jesus, thank you for your living word. Build up Zion. Make it glorious. Make it the way you want it to be. Amen. Lord, we praise you that you equip us for your work. We pray that you would complete your will with us, that your will would come on earth and your kingdom would come on earth. Praise the Lord. The Lord not only just shows us Zion, the city of the living God, the Lord wants to bring us to this city. We spent so much time in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2, but that's good because we need to see what this is all about. The Lord wants to build up Zion, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. He laid a precious cornerstone in Zion, and that is our focus. Why are we here? What's keeping you here? What's so great about being here? What's so great about being here at this conference? The Lord says, the Lord himself is the preciousness. What keeps you here should be nothing except the preciousness of the Lord. The Lord himself. He is the cornerstone that holds us all together. And he wants to perfect Zion. Peter said, the end of all things is at hand. It's not about, do we have a nice, orderly, harmonious church life? The Lord wants to perfect his house. He showed us that he wants to have a kingly priesthood, a holy nation. He wants to finish it. That's why it's so good. And these next chapters, 3, 4, and 5 of 1 Peter, are full of practical tips and reprimands and ways what it looks like to give our life for this. It's not a matter of just to build Zion doesn't take place solely in the meetings. Okay, we want more edification. All right, let's have one meeting every night. Edification is not limited to the meetings. Edification has to do with our whole lives. Like Johnny was just sharing, at home and our family life, inviting saints. Where we are at work, there's one in chapter 3, verse 7, there's one sentence where he says that your prayers should not be hindered. That means our entire being, our entire life, the Lord, we heard that the Lord wants to save our souls. But also our whole lives surrounding us. Our whole life should be focused on Zion, should be focused on his kingdom. We shouldn't separate these things. It's all one thing, so that our prayers may not be hindered. If I'm not being diligent in these matters, it could be that the Lord does not answer my prayers. Husbands, give honor to the wife as to a weaker vessel, that your prayers may not be hindered. This word vessel in Greek is the same as a tool. So no matter where we are, whether you're single, married, in family life, elderly, our body is a vessel or a tool for the Lord. Our entire being, our entire life should be given for what the Lord has shown us. That's why it's good to see the verses in chapter 4. It's such a logical consequence of the verses and chapters before. How do you build up a house? How do you build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood? You can't. It just doesn't happen automatically on its own. A spiritual house doesn't mean come to the meetings, listen, and then the house will be perfected. But rather, it takes people living by the Spirit who give themselves completely for the Lord. It takes us. That's why we're here. We're not just here to be encouraged and to go home in an encouraged state. It takes role models. It takes examples. It takes people who want to be an example for the flock. Mm-hmm. It says, especially have a fervent love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And in verse 10, and as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. In verse 11, it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. And there are so many more examples. I want to emphasize one point. Peter didn't just write these verses just so. We heard during the conference, he really went through something, Peter did. When you read the Gospel of John, you can see 3 times he denied the Lord. He really betrayed the Lord. And then he hid, he ran away, he was afraid. He went back to becoming a fisherman. He was really down. And then the Lord came and encountered him. How would you feel if you denied the Lord 3 times? I think you would say, it's over. I have no chance. I'm going back home. But you could tell Peter had a heart for the Lord. When John said, when he pulled out the fish and they saw, oh, look, it's the Lord on the bank, on the shores. Peter was the only one who jumped out of the boat and swam. But then, even though he was before the Lord, Peter did not dare to talk to the Lord. It was the Lord who spoke to Peter. And the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? In this way, the Lord really lifted Peter up again. He says, if you love me, shepherd my flock. This shows, it's so encouraging, it shows how what kind of prerequisites we need, what kind of heart we need to serve the Lord. It says here, everyone has received a gift. Everyone should serve the Lord. Everyone. This example of Peter shows it doesn't matter how successful your past has been or how often you have failed or not failed. Sometimes it really takes a state where we are so humbled and brought low before the Lord. That's very good, because in this state, we can really receive so much from the Lord. Then we are willing to receive from the Lord. That means When things go wrong, don't look at your talents. Okay, someone has a gift. Okay, what am I gifted at? What's my gift? What's my talent? Okay, I'm going to work on that. That's not what we're talking about here. It's about what you have received from the Lord. It's not about us trying to build up a Christian work or a company or an enterprise. We're trying to build a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. As soon as we hear the word holy, then you can't do anything anymore. What can you do that's holy out of your own self? It's precious to see all the brothers, all the apostles, they serve the Lord in this way. And also we should consecrate ourselves to the Lord in this way. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers. When you think, okay, they're the ministers, they're the apostles, they're the big guys. Maybe I think, okay, a certain brother stands up to talk, then I can lean back and relax. It says, they are ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. Amen. That means that people came to believe wasn't the doing of Apollos, but it was the Lord who gave. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the growth. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Of course, we should be examples and role models. Our lives should be in order, that we are prepared for the Lord. But if the Lord does not give the living seed, does not give growth, nothing will grow. Here it says, God gave the increase, God gave the growth. And if it was like this with Paul and Apollos, that they could only do what God had given them, how is it with us? It should be exactly the same. And this erases so many of my excuses. Sometimes I say, I'm not like this or that brother. Or, I don't have this talent to approach others. Here it says, we receive from the Lord as the Lord gave each one. And that's what we minister each other with, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Praise the Lord. And what is a good steward? How can you recognize a good shepherd? What would you say? What's the most important thing for a good steward? That he's faithful. That he's loyal. He's faithful and loyal. The Lord said, a paid servant. How can you recognize if a servant is paid? A mercenary, he runs away. If there is a problem, he leaves the sheep behind in their troubles and their needs. Why? Because he doesn't have a burden for the sheep, for the flock. That's why the Lord said, above all, have a fervent love. It's not just a feeling or an emotion. It's, do I have a heart for the saints? Do I have a burden for them? Doesn't necessarily matter what words I say. But when I see if someone's not doing well, do I have a burden for them or do I just leave them in their problems? It's important to have a burden for the saints and for all people. That's how we can see our faithfulness, our loyalness. Of course, when everything's going well, I love everyone. But how is it when difficulties arise? We can learn this loyalty from the Lord. The Lord did not desert anyone, but he gave his life for the sheep. Praise the Lord. Let us learn to be faithful servants, loyal servants. And you can see faithfulness and loyalty and giving food. What's important, the most important part of the household? The kitchen, the food. If you are missing a kitchen, then you're just in an office. In an office building, there's no food. You can only work there. But in a household, there must be food. And like we already heard on the first night of the conference, it really takes role models, examples, brothers and sisters who want to be wise and faithful servants to pass out food to the others. If I don't care about the others, then I'm just thinking about myself. I'm self-centered. And the Lord wants to set us free from such a mindset that's only self-centered. The Lord wants us to learn what is the need of the other saints. Give me a food that is going to lift the others up, to bring them onward. If there are many good stewards, then the Lord can also bring many new ones. If everyone's just taking care of themselves, busy with themselves, and a new one comes, they won't find any food. But if we want to come to maturity, one of the signs of maturity is learning to pass out food to the saints. Children, small children, they only think of themselves. That's normal. But the more you grow, you learn to serve. You learn to pass out food. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, if anyone speaks, this is 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So it doesn't matter what ministry you do, what service you do. And we shouldn't compare ourselves. What are the others doing? It's important that each one of us receives from the Lord to grow into what the Lord gives us, to say, Lord, I want to learn to become a wise and loyal servant of the manifold grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we learn to become such good stewards, God will be glorified. God will be glorified in all things. That's the result. That's the nature. If it all depends upon my natural talent or how good I am at something, then God will not be glorified. We want the Lord to be magnified in all things. Let us learn how to do that. The Lord is not glorified if I just say lip service. When I say thanks be to the God, thanks be to God, but inwardly I'm proud that I think it's because I'm so good, or if I'm just saying spiritual things with my lip, a lip service. God is not glorified by that. But if we learn from Peter, through his story, he was broken. He denied the Lord, and the Lord said, shepherd my flock. Then he can't pat himself on the back and say, oh, I did a good job. That's why the Lord wants me to take care of the flock. Peter knew the Lord gave him that responsibility. He received it from the Lord. Tonight, we're going to talk about another passage that talks about suffering. And then chapter 5 comes, that where it talks about how it takes role models for the flock. Chapter 5, verse 2, 1 Peter says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, Seeing as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. We need to have a burden for the flock. We don't have time to go into all the details, but this chapter describes such a normal condition where there are shepherds shepherding the flock. Amen. Sometimes when we read the word elders, we think, oh, who's that? And we think that elders is the one maybe who wears a name tag, but you're not an elder if you have a name tag. You're an elder if you shepherd the flock. In such a normal context, we can understand verse 5. Submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. That's a wonderful state where I'm willingly submissive. But like we already heard, with like the worldly authorities, when the government perverts things and speaks false things, do I still have to be submissive to that government or to those rules? It's the same thing here. This describes a normal situation. If the elders are really a role model for the flock, shepherding the flock according to the Lord's will, then I'm gladly submissive, and that's a blessing. But if the elders start to speak nonsense, or even to speak against the truth, or exercise pressure, or start to rule over those who are not submissive, then we need to discern. It's so good to have a sober mind, to have a discernment in our minds. Praise the Lord. And at the end, it says that there's the roaring lion looking whom he can devour. Resist him. This is not just something personal. Often I thought, took these for myself. I need to resist the devil. But the Lord wants to complete Zion, so we need to learn to be shepherds, to resist the devil, to take heed when the lion is going about trying to devour the others. We take heed to one another. Praise the Lord. The Lord really gives us such a view, a vision of how he wants to perfect Zion. He doesn't just want to have a nice church life, but a city of the living God where the enemy is under our feet. Zion is a place where the Lord reigns, and it has so much to do with our entire lives, not just the meeting. Let us grow into that. All of the households, all of our households here, that we become shepherds, that the Lord can bring his flock to the goal.